Storytelling in podcasts does not come naturally to me. I totally clam up. I don't know what it is. Yet I love guests on my show that have great stories to illustrate their point. It makes for such great conversation and helps the audience understand and relate. So today I'm chatting with storytelling expert Mark Carpenter, who shares what kind of stories to share, how to craft them, why they make for more impactful episodes, and more. So let's get started. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, it's Lindsay, and we're here for another episode of Leverage Your Podcast Show. And I often bring guests in so that they can help me and help you at the same time. A little altruistic, but that's okay. And of course, we have Mark Carpenter, who is the master of all storytelling and author of the best-selling book, Master Storyteller, How to Turn Your Experiences into Stories That Teach, Lead, and Inspire. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. You're saying that you bring guests on who, you know, give you information that you want. It honestly, if I can just here, I'm going to start off with a quick story. The very first podcast that I was ever on, I asked this guy, his name's Jake. I said, Jake, why do you have a podcast? Because this guy runs a law firm and he has a podcast on the side, a business podcast on the side. Oh. I was like, why do you run a podcast? And he kind of grinned at me and he said, well, it's my way of getting free time with leading industry experts. So I go to people that I want to know what they think about things.
Yeah.
And I ask them if they'll be on my podcast. And I basically get a 30-minute free consultation with them. And I thought, dang, that is freaking brilliant that you do that.
Yes.
But he had that very specific purpose.
Yeah.
That's why he did a podcast.
I have never seen that as a goal for having a podcast. I mean, I secretly love like asking questions that I want to know. I'm like, okay, obviously my audience is going to want to know too, but I am a little selfish sometimes. And we were just kind of talking off air, and it's like, I admitted to you that I am terrible at storytelling. And even when I guest on shows and I tell my clients to do it, but I just never remember or retain stories. And so like for me to give examples, like I'm just horrible at it. And please say I'm not alone in that.
You are totally not alone in that. And Lindsay, I really don't think you're horrible at it. I've listened to your podcast. You're not horrible at it.
Okay.
The thing that we need to do though, is to be more intentional about it. It's not something usually that just rolls off people's tongues unless they've practiced it a lot, unless they are really experienced at doing it. And again, it starts with intentionality. It starts with saying, no, I want to make this point, but I'm going to illustrate it with this story. Right. So when that point comes up, I'm going to have this experience that I've turned into a very brief story, a 45 to 90 second story that I can share with people. But if I don't have that intentionally designed and ready to go, I'm probably not going to do it just on the fly.
Yeah, true. And so you just finished saying 60 to 90 seconds. So I was going to ask you, is there a length that is like what you should shoot for? Because I've seen some guests that go on a story and man, they're on a tangent. And meanwhile, you're like, bring it back, bring it back.
Yeah. Right. Or find the ending. The way that I put it is land the plane. You know, don't just fly around there. You got to come to your ending. And that's part of that intentionality as well. And it's understanding what your purpose is. Because if your purpose is to actually teach, lead, sell, and inspire, and that's our subtitle, then the ending is the thing that you're aiming toward. And by understanding what your intent is, you're going to leave out some details along the way. Mm. Because the only details you're going to include in there are enough to make it clear to the point that you're trying to make.
Right. That makes sense. And it's what you like just set me up perfectly. So I was going to say, are there different stories for different goals? Like Or do you have different goals when you need to weave storytelling in?
Yeah, and sometimes you can use the same story for different goals.
Sweet.
You can teach all sorts of different things from the story, but then that's going to help you edit which parts you tell for which audience.
Right.
So the thing that I always encourage people to look for is, what are those moments that you have in your life that you have an emotional reaction to? You have, and it could be any kind of emotional reaction. It can be joy. It can be fear. It can be frustration. It could even be just curiosity. And in fact, I'll just go with this, since we were just talking about how I was in Toronto just a month or so ago. And as I was at the airport leaving Toronto, there's so many different languages spoken, and you could just look in the line and see all sorts of different ethnicities there in the line at security. And so the security personnel didn't try to speak all the different languages. Instead, he used very clear hand signals about who he wanted to go where, and to keep the line organized and to keep it moving. And I thought, wow, it's really interesting that he did that. And I had a moment where I thought, that is really interesting how efficient he was just by using hand gestures and very, very few words. And then I had to think about it later and say, okay, so what's the point? What's the point of that story? And I got to thinking about it and realized there actually is a great business point in that story, that the actions we take communicate a lot to people, even more so than the words that we give to them as leaders. So if I'm a leader, yes, I need to say the words that I want to say, but the actions that I take probably communicate more to my people than the words that I'm saying. And so I can make that connection. I could tell that story whenever I needed to make that point.
Ooh, yeah.
And now I've got a connection between a real life experience and a point that I want to make.
So do you create like a library or like a database of stories, if you will?
Yeah, I carry with me all the time my little iPad mini, and I have in the notes app on there, I have a little folder that's called Stories for Someday. And I will just capture these moments when they come.
Yeah.
And say, okay, this happened. And then I'll put it at the end, potential lessons with a question mark. And I might put a couple of notes there. Sometimes I just put potential lessons and a question mark because I don't know.
Yeah.
But then when I need a story, I'll go back to that and go, ah, this can make a connection right here.
I love that. That is so smart. And so I always kind of equate, like, when you're sharing a story on a podcast or speaking or whatever, that I just equate it to like case studies or like how you helped a client or testimonials. Is there a better way of thinking of it? Or is that just like a small portion?
Yeah. And a lot of times, because if we think of testimonials or case studies, we think of those as, let me just share the information about what happened. But again, we really focus on, what is that end goal that you're getting to? What is the lesson you're trying to teach?
Yeah.
How are you trying to inspire people to act? What change are you trying to lead people toward? And so there's a more direct intentionality in the way that we're talking about telling stories. So yeah, maybe it's, I have this case about this, but what I'm trying to show is the success this organization had as a result of taking this step.
Yeah.
Because I want you to be able to take that step too. I want to open the door or get you more motivated to take that step. So let me share with you that end result that they got and the path that they took to get there. So I need to give you just a short narrative arc of, here's their current state. Here's the pain that they were experiencing. Here's how they overcame that pain and how you can overcome that pain too.
Yeah.
And so I need to be intentional about how I craft that experience so that it takes people on that journey.
That makes sense. And I feel like that to me is kind of like a before and after, and what was the secret sauce that kind of like got them from A to B, but you still want it to feel like not super dry. Do you know what I mean? And and you want it to have some interest.
Yeah. Well, and that's where that conflict area comes in. If you make the right connection at the beginning of, here's someone in a situation that like you're in. So maybe if I was trying to encourage you to use more stories in your podcasting, I would say, Lindsay, let me tell you about a podcast host that I know who, they had a good podcast, but they weren't getting as many followers as they wanted. And he wasn't getting any many reviews on it. And so he decided that he was going to implement storytelling more in his podcast. And he was very intentional about starting each podcast with a story to illustrate the point of that lesson or that episode. And as he did so, he started getting more responses, better reviews. And he realized that the key was to include that story up front because that was making greater connections with the people that he was listening to. Well, so now I've got somebody like me who experienced some pain that maybe I'm experiencing too.
Right. You can relate
how they overcame that pain. What did they do to accomplish something different?
I love that because it feels conversational. It's making a point, but it's not like it doesn't feel like you did it on purpose. Like, do you know what I mean? Because it does feel conversational.
Yeah. Well, it is conversational. It is conversational because this is how we make sense of the world.
Is through
story. It's connecting into how does that relate to my personal experiences? And that's how stories really connect us as a species so that we can relate to each other and I can understand that message better and retain it longer.
Yeah. I never thought about that because of that emotional connection and understanding that you remember it longer versus just giving a fact.
Yeah. There's actually some studies that show that when you're sharing information with people, so just information, facts, data, stuff like that, it engages two or three parts of your brain. When you're telling a story, it engages between 5 and 7 parts of your brain. Because it taps in specifically to the memory areas of your brain. Because as you're sharing your experience with me, I'm trying to think of experiences like that I can relate to.
Yeah.
And so it taps into that memory section, which is also very closely connected to the emotional areas of my brain. And so that's going to help me retain it longer. It's kind of not a fair fight. If you think about, you know, 3 portions of your brain versus 6 portions of your brain that you're tapping into with storytelling, it really has that powerful impact to make those connections for people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had no idea. Now, obviously, podcasting and as a guest, you weave stories and examples and what have you into your talk or your conversation. Where else in our marketing as a business owner would we use stories, like on our website or in emails?
Yes, all of the above. I think emails are a great place to do it. Mm-hmm. Think about the emails that you get and what are the ones you want to read the most? They're probably the ones that have some story in there that is going to draw you into it. If it's just a bunch of information, it's easy to say, delete, halfway through the email or earlier. But I also look at it in sales and particularly in overcoming objections in sales.
Yeah.
So somebody says, well, it's just not the right time for me now. I get that. I've worked with people where it just wasn't the right time for them. My concern is that like this one client that I worked with, they said it wasn't the right time for them. And so they put it off and they put it off and they kept having the problems. They came back to me 6 months later and they said, we should have just done this because we've wasted so much money trying to overcome this problem. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want you to experience that same kind of thing. And so now I've just told a little story to relate to you why, your objection's valid, but it can be overcome.
Yeah.
And that's better than me saying, no, you really need to move on this now, because that doesn't move somebody to action.
No, it feels like they're being told what to do.
Yeah. And that breeds resistance.
I love that. Is there like a formula that we should use or a guide of how we can like craft a little story? Because for me, it feels, I don't know why I have a block on it, but it feels unnatural and I don't know why.
Yeah. And a lot of people run into that and they see people give advice about use this narrative arc to tell your story. And Joseph Campbell has like the 13 steps of the narrative arc and it's wonderful for big picture things like epic novels and great mm-hmm. movies and stuff like that. But in a 2 to 3 minute story, it's really hard to fit all those in.
Uh-huh.
So we've really condensed that into 3 steps.
Oh, good.
And I hinted at them earlier that there's an introduction. This is setting the stage. Who's in the story? What's going on? What goal are they trying to accomplish? There's a conflict. Conflict is where something is getting in the way of that goal that they're trying to accomplish. And so there's a challenge to that goal that somebody's got to overcome. And then the final stage we refer to as the change. What changes to either allow that goal to be accomplished, to overcome the challenge, mm-hmm. or what did they not do that kept them from achieving that goal that we can learn from so we can do something different? Because a lot of times those stumble stories, I don't call them failure stories, they're stumble stories mm-hmm. where we just didn't quite do the right thing. Those are some of the best lessons that we can learn from.
Oh, absolutely.
And so sharing those, a lot of times people get reticent to share those because they're like, well, I don't want to look like I'm an idiot because I made this mistake. We all make mistakes. This makes you actually more relatable.
Yeah.
And it's a better learning opportunity for the people around you to say, I don't want you to experience the problem that I experienced by handling it this way. So what could I have done differently? And you learn from that. And that's a great way to pass that information along.
I agree. Like when I see like entrepreneurs, and it can not necessarily in a business setting, but even just life, and you hear their story and like their vulnerability of what they've overcome, and like, and now they're helping people fix, do whatever. Like to me, I gravitate more to those people because I feel like they're super authentic and super genuine. But it's funny how we shy away from telling our stories, like big, small, or medium.
Yeah. And I'll take your comment a little further. Have you ever heard somebody talk and all they talk about is the wonderful successes they are and all the brilliant things that they've done and how they're like the perfect example of everything? Yeah. I can see from your face that you've heard those people, and it is, it's just that little kind of reaction of nobody's quite that perfect.
I know.
And I think when people do that, they are trying to put themselves on a pedestal a little bit, and maybe with good intention to show people how their success can be other people's successes, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel as authentic, like you said. It doesn't help us connect to those people because we are all imperfect.
Yeah.
We all do make mistakes. And so when we see somebody that seems to be professing they don't make mistakes, it just doesn't feel relatable.
Yeah. I agree. And I even love it when I hear people be like, I tried this, and this, it did not work. So I don't want you doing the same thing when you start your business or whatever. Yeah. And then I did this and it helped. Maybe it can help you, kind of a thing. And then you feel like that person actually wants to help you.
Well, that's the essence of your podcast here, isn't it? It is helping people who are either podcast hosts or podcast guests accelerate their success by seeing, here are some of the challenges that we've had or that others have had, and here's how to overcome those so that you can take that step forward. I heard this great comment years ago that wise people learn from their mistakes, but truly wise people learn from other people's mistakes.
Mm.
So they don't have to make the mistakes themselves.
Yeah.
They can learn from other people's mistakes. Well, where do you get those mistakes? You hear them in the forms of their stories and the challenges that they maybe didn't overcome or took longer to overcome than they thought they should, so that we can take a shorter path to getting the success.
Yeah, totally. And learning from other people's mistakes is super helpful so that you have less.
That's right.
So as a host, I mean, technically there is a conversation, obviously, but I'm relying on your stories, your information to share with the audience. How do I, as a host, either I share stories or help the guest share stories?
Yeah. And I think you can do both. I think there are times that as you're listening to my information, you can even check in. And this is a good check-in because you're representing your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can check in with something like, well, so that reminds me of this experience that I had, like this and this and this and this happened. Is that kind of what you're talking about in terms of sharing this concept? And now you've just told a little story to help illustrate the point that your guest is making. And I've had that happen with hosts that do that. And it's wonderful because I can say exactly, that's exactly what we're talking about. And then we know that we're really understanding each other. And the audience gets a little boost from that too, because their understanding is increased as a result of that story. And then as a host, I encourage hosts to just ask questions like, well, give me an example of, or share an experience when, rather than just sharing the information with me, tell me the story about it. And you don't have to put people on the spot to say, well, tell a really compelling story here that illustrates this point you're trying to make. But if you just say to them, well, share an experience where that kind of came to life for you.
Yeah.
And if they're really living the concepts that they're sharing, and I think most of your guests are, they'll be able to do that. They will have experiences that they'll readily be able to share to illustrate those points. And it just makes a more powerful connection for your audience.
That's true. And I shy away from that because I feel like, again, I'm putting someone on the spot. But I like your way of just saying, oh, can you share an example or can you illustrate that in a different way? Or that feels conversational and you're just asking them to like explain it in a way that everyone can understand and or imagine in their head.
Well, and all the podcast hosts and guests know, and that's your audience, that there is green room talk before we come on. And that's referenced back to the doing things on stage where the green room is the preparation area. But before we start recording, we sit down and have a conversation. I think it'd be really easy during that time as a host to say, hey, do you have an experience you could share that illustrates this point? And then they don't have to think of it on the spot.
Right.
You know, they can be prepared for that just a little bit more if you just prep them with that in the green room conversation.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Now, I'm very much a preparer and like to dot my I's and cross my T's. And so when I guest on a show, I mean, I have talk topics and I have points. So for me to weave stories in, like I should actually, from what I'm understanding, I should actually go back, think it through and be more intentional and write out stories about the points that I want to talk about in those episodes.
Yeah.
And hopefully remember them.
I'm going to illustrate this with an old historical situation that happened. This is many decades ago. It was back in the Richard Nixon administration in the United States, and his Secretary of State was Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger went to a press conference at the White House. He said, I have a prepared statement. He read his statement. He looked up from the statement and he said, if any of you have questions that match my answers, I'll take them now. And in a way, you want to come in that prepared as a podcast guest.
Yeah.
Say, when they ask this question, I'm going to answer it with this story.
Right.
And I think that's completely fair to do, to come in and when they ask you a question, say, well, let me illustrate that point with this experience that I had, and then just share it. It'll actually, the podcast host will love you more because you're livening up that conversation rather than just sharing information with them. And so if you prepare examples that you have, you can answer questions with the examples instead of just answering with the information.
It's funny. We were talking earlier and it's like that whole cobbler's children or whatever.
the cobbler's children are the only ones who don't have shoes.
Yeah. And yeah, like I totally helped one of my clients out and we brainstormed like sound bites and, you know, but it's funny. I was thinking like case studies and how she can illustrate like the methods that she uses, how she helped her clients. And I don't know why, but I didn't think of it in my head as her sharing stories. But now that you're kind of explaining it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they are stories. I don't know why I frame it differently in my head for some reason.
Yeah. And the word stories has so many different meanings. What's that person's story? Or, you know, it could this epic novel or even somebody's, you know, social media post can be their story. And so we like to make it really clear that when we're talking about story, we're talking about a real life experience that's crafted in a way with that introduction, conflict, and change that has the impact of teaching, leading, selling, inspiring, really moving people to action and making a point. So it's not just telling an experience to tell an experience.
Yeah.
There was a young man that lives down the street from us, and my wife and I were talking to him the other day, and he said, oh, this really cool thing happened to me the other day. So tell us about it. Well, he went on and on and on and went into all this detail. And I kept standing there. I wanted to do one of these kind of actions.
Wrap it up, buddy.
Going, come on, get to it. What is your point here? He just wasn't intentional enough about sharing that experience. And at the end, he had a good point to make, but he took so long to get there. He almost lost us in the middle of it. And so that's part of just the intentionality of right. being clear about what am I trying to accomplish here? And which parts of this story or this experience are going to serve that end point? And that's how you can be intentional about having the greatest impact, about turning your experiences into stories.
And when you put it that way, it feels less intimidating to me. Yeah. Whereas when people say like, oh, you need to weave stories into this, that, the other, like, I don't know, my head just spins and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. But when you put it that way, it feels like it's more doable. And I'm like, okay, it doesn't have to be this huge, I gotta write a novel down and five novels that I can memorize and, yeah. and share on episodes.
I walked on the moon. You know, we don't have to be quite that dramatic in, yeah. in our stories. But it is one of those funny things that people think, well, I don't have anything dramatic happening in my life to be a good yeah. story. And I always like to say that the extraordinary lives inside the ordinary. It's these ordinary everyday things. And I'm losing my poster behind me as we talk.
Windy.
I'm losing my stickiness. It's these everyday things that become more relatable. Because you and I can relate to that. If you're telling me about that time that you were an astronaut and you walked on the moon, I can't really connect to that. But I can connect to that thing where you talk about stumbling on stage in front of somebody, because I've been in that kind of situation before.
Yeah.
And so don't discount those everyday moments of your life. And again, the best way to find them is look for those moments that you have some kind of an emotional reaction to something. Because that emotional reaction will trigger you to, there's a lesson in there. There's something in there that you can use to teach, lead, sell, and inspire.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. And I think it's just wrapping, like just thinking differently of what's going on in your daily life, how you're impacting other people. Something just came to my mind is like, you know, when a client says to you, you're talking about what it is that you're doing to help them. And then they're like, oh, I never looked at it that way before. Or, oh, that's how it's done. Now I get it. Or, oh, thank God you're doing that. Like just those interactions that you have with other people,
yeah.
stuff that I take for granted, but I don't realize how much clarity it gave them.
Right. And you're so right that we get so numb to the things that we know. In the book Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath, they refer to it as the curse of knowledge. I know this stuff. And so it's obvious to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody else knows it too.
Yeah.
And it's not always the case. And this is why one of the things that we strongly encourage people on telling their stories is think first about who your audience is too.
Yeah.
Who is your audience? What do they know? What do they not know? I've had people stand up and share experiences, but they're using terminology or acronyms from their own industry that I'm not part of. And they lose me in the story because I'm so focused on what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not sure. I don't understand this. And so know who your audience is, because then you'll be able to connect with them better and leave out those terminologies that they don't understand. Don't let the curse of knowledge get in the way. Yeah. of making the point that you're trying to make with your story.
That is a great tip. Thinking about your audience and what they already understand and what they're trying to understand and how you want to serve them. That's really important, because how you're saying it and the words that you're using in the story itself are going to take away or add to it.
Yeah. And I love how you used the phrase there, Lindsay, about how will this serve them? I think when people think storytelling, they think, ooh, what's my story that I'm going to stand up here and look like the hero and I'm going to be the hero of this story. You're not the hero of your story. The hero of your story is the lesson. The hero of the story is the lesson learned as it serves that audience that you're talking to. And so don't get caught up in the stories about me. Sure, you're in the story. You had the experience. Mm-hmm. But the main focus of the story needs to be, what do we learn from that? What do we take forward from that? And I'll tell you another big hesitation that people get is they just don't feel natural at it. But storytelling is like anything else. It's mm-hmm. a skill that we learn and that we develop. And you learn it like any other skill. You get somebody to help you along the way. You get started and then you practice it and you do it. You do it a lot. I'm sure the first time you hosted a podcast, you were not an expert at it.
Heck to the no.
But you built that over time. Well, and I say that to podcast hosts all the time. They always give you the same answer. Like, oh no, it's like embarrassing to look back on that first time. And I look back on some of the stories that I've told and went, yeah, that one really missed the mark. It takes, again, intentionality, and it takes some practice, but that's the only way you get good at any skill.
Yeah.
Is by learning it, practicing it, learning from what you practiced, and getting better as you go on.
Yeah. And I think the lack of experience or the nerves or whatever, I don't think it detracts from the story. I think as long as you have a lesson to share and that you're being authentic, I think people are still going to take something away from it, regardless of how, you know, cringy you feel that episode is.
Yeah. I was coaching someone recently on telling stories, and he got to the end of the story and I said, how did you feel like you did? And he said, oh, I missed this really important part. And I was like, what? And he told me, and I went, that's not as important as you're making it. Because I listened to him and I went, I totally got the point.
Right.
I was totally wrapped up in his emotion of the story. And I thought he did great. I would have given him an A- on it. And he was giving himself a B-. And I was like, yeah, don't get too caught up in that. And remember, they don't know what you know.
Totally.
And so if you make a mistake, the only way they're going to know you made the mistake is if you call it out.
Yeah.
So don't get too worried about that.
That helps. What also helps is that I saw on your website, Mark, that you have a story catcher. I was like, ooh, I need me to look at that. that looks super intriguing.
That is in our free stuff page. So if you go to master-storytelling.com, you have to get that little dash between master and storytelling. Master-storytelling.com. Go to the free stuff page and there's a free download. It's a PDF document. It's about 3 pages. And it goes through kind of what we've just talked about here.
Yeah.
Where are you going to find those stories? And what point are you trying to make? And there's a couple of different ways to look at it. I talked about looking for those experiences that you have an emotional reaction to. Well, then you can figure out what the lesson is later.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if it's like, I need to make this point, well, then start looking around your life for examples that illustrate that point. And it's weird. The universe will send them to you because you're looking for them.
Yeah.
You're intentionally looking for it. You'll find those examples. And then it talks about, okay, how are you going to craft this into an intentional story? So yeah, it's a little free download document to guide you through some of the things that we've been talking about. It's supportive of the book. It gives you a very brief version of what we walk through for you in the book, but they can also get the first chapter of the book for free on same page. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I think too, like once you step someone through it, it's like something clicks in your brain. You're like, okay, I think I get it now.
Yeah. And again, it's going through the process and getting some good feedback. And sometimes you can give yourself good feedback, record yourself and listen back to it. Whoa. But other times it takes other people to give you feedback. Yeah, I know. I know it's a cruel thing to have to listen to yourself.
I know.
Nobody likes the sound of their own voice, but it's really helpful. It's really helpful to hear, is my cadence right? Does this really make the point that I'm trying to make? Am I emphasizing this point strongly enough? Am I emphasizing that point too strong? It's easy to see that way. We have a workshop also that we take people through to really dive into.
I was just
going to
say, do you have courses, workshop? Like, how do you help your clients?
Yeah. So it's a half-day workshop in person. It's 3 95-minute sessions virtually. And we just take people through the concepts, through some of the brain science behind it.
Ooh.
How do you find those experiences? How do you structure those experiences? Yeah. And you walk out of the workshop with 2 stories that are ready to tell.
Awesome.
So we do some real direct application right there in the workshop.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love how you can weave stories into any of your marketing. And like you said, emails, your web copy, and not just podcasts, speaking. Well,
and I would add to that.
It's so much.
Yeah, I would add to that even just in your day-to-day leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we see leaders who'll sit down and say, here's our goals. It's really important that we hit these goals. But they don't get a lot of the why behind it.
Right.
So paint the picture for me. Paint the vision of what these goals are going to do for us, but also for our customers.
Right.
Why is that going to be good for them? And what's the bigger picture here? So I think it's a missing or an underutilized leadership skill as well to help teach, lead, and inspire.
I love that. You're amazing. I've totally loved your stories and chatting with you. And you've helped me kind of wrap my head around it and it not to feel so kind of weird to me and kind of get over that hurdle.
Yeah. And we kind of got to get out of our own heads.
I know.
We get in the way, but think about it. Since the dawn of mankind, this is how we've made sense of the world for each other.
Yes.
Is by telling stories. You can't picture early caveman standing there with a pie chart trying to explain something to each other about where to find the best food. You're going to tell the story about this is where the buffalo herd is now.
Yeah.
And we need to go get it. It's part of who we are in our human condition, that this is how we make sense of the world is through story.
And how we connect with others. Yes. Well, I'm so grateful to have you on the show and help me out. And I know you would have helped our listeners as well and become better communicators and better at podcast guesting.
Lindsay, it's been fantastic to be with you. Thank you. I'm honored to be with you and to allow you to allow me to talk to your audience.
Yeah, I appreciate you. All right. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you next week.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.